Hello, welcome back to the Answer the Call podcast with Kelsey and Audrey. We've never introed like that before.
Wow, I like it. It's hosted, simple, and it works.
Yes, hosted by the Called Career team. So we are so happy to have you listening because today, well, we're happy to have you listening every single week, but today we are sharing more about some experiences we've had recently in coaching, but also probably throughout coaching for the entire Called Career history. Yeah. This is a common pattern.
A consistent theme. So that's what made it a good idea to bring up. We're like, oh, we should address this. This isn't just one person's struggle that you were talking with today.
Yeah. I would probably bet that a lot of people struggle with this. And what it is being too in your head is the bigger concept, breaking it down into more specifically spending too much time on the internet and not enough time in conversation, to put it simply.
I would title this collecting bad data for your career decisions.
Mm-hmm.
People have some real trashy data that they're basing directional decisions on, and we would love to share what you could be doing instead. And also to say there's no guilt or shame. I too once was just, well, ironically, I was just telling you, I was Googling some things for some business decisions, but in terms of identifying the opportunities that you really want and what role titles specifically you really feel are best aligned with your calling, it's not enough to just Google it. And you might be listening to this because you already feel that. So, Audrey, tell us about the conversation you were having with a client today that brought this to the front of our minds.
Yeah. So I was talking with the client today, so about his informational interviews that he was doing and is continuing to do as he's assessing a couple of different career paths and having those informational interviews, which if you haven't, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, it's a very core element of our process where you are talking to professionals who are actually in the fields that you are considering to get to gather evidence and really solid evidence that you can use to assess if this is a good career path moving forward or not. So I was discussing those results or those ideas and conversations that came from the informational interviews that this client was having. And I was sitting on, you know, the coaching side, nodding my head, thinking, yes, he is getting such good information. He's learning what he might like about this job, learning what he might not like, but is not really too concerned with that because everything sounds like things he can handle and things that he, you know, I might not want to do that every single day, but if that comes up once a week or a couple times throughout the month, that's fine. And then the pros he was really excited about and really excited about this career path overall, felt like it used his talents and his gifts very well. It's something he's genuinely interested in. And he's sharing all of this. And as a coach, I'm thinking, this is awesome. So excited. Career path defined, check, we're moving forward. Maybe not that extreme, but you know, we're moving in the right direction. And then he starts telling me about how he got on the internet and started reading job postings, which seems like a great idea to get an idea of what a job is like and a career path in general. So he's reading the job postings, reading articles, looking at different courses, on Reddit, all of these things, taking in so much information. And now he just doesn't know about this career path anymore. And he's really concerned with this career path. So we had to take it a step back, you know, a couple steps back and kind of define, you know, okay, so you were feeling really good after your informational interviews. And then when you started looking online, that's where you started to hesitate and you now have a lot more questions. That gives me pause as your coach to be like, okay, well, when you're gathering evidence from people who are actually in the field, you feel good. But when you're coming up with your own ideas and researching and getting into internet rabbit holes, you don't feel good. Which do we trust more?
Mm-hmm. And it seems kind of obvious. Like, let's just lean in. And I think that there's a happy medium here. Our answer is not just to this client and to you if you resonate with this. Oh, like, just remember how good those conversations were. I mean, how many did you have? Was it one? Was it five? Was it 10? You could still just be like, oh, that was like five people with this job title. That's not everybody. Of course it's not. But what you can do and what I would encourage is say, Great. Okay. No worries. You collected some information. Let's feel good about it. Write down every concern that it gave you. Like literally write it down physically so we can define it. And then you don't just have to stew on it or say, I don't know. I like truly believe that confusion is a choice. And some people really don't like me for that, but I really, really believe that confusion is a choice. And even if you are in a generally like confusing season of life, I just think that first, if no matter what you're trying, you're still feeling super confused, you probably just like this client need to define what you're really feeling and thinking and what you're actually concerned about and dial down the noise. Say, I'm not going to seek out these endless pools of information anymore that are just stressing me out. And I'm going to take this list of concerns that I've turned into questions, and I am going to either take it back to the informational interview contacts that I've already been corresponding with, and or I am going to continue to increase my data set, my sample size a little bit by reaching out to more people at different companies or different size companies or different industries that still have this role title and say, is this really true? Or is this not something I could be concerned about? Is it kind of something I should be concerned about? All right. So if so, how would I find a position that allows me to avoid that? There is always something you could do about questions and concerns. Mm-hmm. You could ask them to the right people. And by the way, you don't always have to have, especially if you're further on in the process and you've already done high quality informational interviews, high quality meaning you've asked high quality questions that are actually insightful and open-ended and not just like, hey, do you like it? What do you like about your job? They might say like, oh, I like my company's culture. That's nice. Unless they're hiring, that doesn't really help you. You want to say in general, what is it like to be a user experience tester, like generically across different industries. And if there's different industry themes, you also want to know about that. So anyway, I got on a little rant there. What do you think, Audrey?
I think we should play a game.
Let's play a game.
I knew you'd like that. Where I'm going to say a concern and you demonstrate how you can turn that concern into a question.
Oh my gosh, this is why you're my work bestie. Okay, let's do it. Let's play.
Okay, so I'm going into, oh my gosh, every single career is escaping right now. Give me a career.
Let's do... Well, for Job Dictionary, we just interviewed a plant manager, but I'm not sure how much you know about manufacturing, like especially for plastics.
Oh my gosh. Okay, more than you would think, because my best friend works in plastics product management.
Okay, let's go. Game on.
Okay, so I'm looking into manufacturing for plastics. I'm concerned about that I don't have the right experience to get into this role.
Okay. Well, first, I would say, what is your experience? Not hard to define. You could literally just initiate informational interviews with various plant managers, because obviously you're asking this because you're interested in potentially getting into this field, but you're like, what if I'm not good enough? What if I don't have all the requirements and whatnot? Initiate conversations and ask them, here's the experience that I have. I'm a little concerned that I don't have all the necessary qualifications. What can I do about that? Is one way that you can ask it. But actually, to ignite their creativity in giving you the best answer, an even better way that you could ask it is saying, who do you know that has a non-traditional background, similar to me or not, kind of like an underdog? Do you know any underdogs that like didn't even have this kind of degree who made it into being a plant manager? Bite your tongue. Don't say anything. Make them answer. Also, I kind of don't like it when people like give way too much context to a question. Just like ask the question.
Just ask it.
people are smarter than you think. Mm-hmm. And let them ideate for you and then say, great, after they give a name. Yeah, like this person I knew, they actually were like a kinesiology major, but they knew somebody. So they kind of started at this level. This is fictional. In the plant. And then they worked their way up. And you could say, awesome. So is it, who else do you know that didn't have like, maybe didn't even have a degree? Let's go like, okay, let's say you have a bachelor's degree. Just like when I was starting career coaching, I thought that my greatest weakness at the time was that I was 24. So I sought out evidence as much as I could find that there was 23-year-olds that started career coaching practices that ultimately became successful. So you could say, all right, I have like an associate's or something. Who do you know who is now a plant manager that straight up did not get higher, like collegiate level education? If they don't know anybody, say, okay, no worries. But like, what about somebody that, you know, has a non-traditional major? They might come up with quite a few, because this is the case for every single career path. Like, there's a lot more non-traditional people who make it in than you would think. And the answers are often going to be, oh, they knew somebody, or I knew somebody. Don't leave it at that. That might actually feel, I feel like a lot of job seekers get discouraged. They're like, oh, it's like a who you know game. I'm like, well, if it worked for them, why can't it work for you? How did they get those connections? And you could just ask them, all right, so given that it was a job that they got through relationships, how do you think I could make that work for me? Ask a how or what question. That makes them go into problem solving mode for you. And then they'll start breaking down advice for like, oh, actually, I've seen this done well. A couple people have reached out. Actually, this one person reached out to me in the past with this amazing cold email. I've had people do this before where they were telling me about, I was asking questions similar to this, and they said, oh yeah, there was one total underdog that made it big in this industry, and it all started with them reaching out to me, and I get outreach all the time, but this email I really paid attention to. Do you want me to send it to you? And I was like, yeah, could you? And then I said, like, you could literally just use that as a template. Boom. That's all you need. And then beyond that, you just need repetition and more feedback and iteration. And why, if they could do it, why couldn't you? That was a little long-winded. What do you think, Audrey?
It was good. I like it. Oh, and you might have said this one point, but also asking, you know, what's the quickest way you've ever seen someone get into this role from where they were to where they are now?
Yes.
What's the most streamlined path?
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing that up. That's another excellent way that you could ask this. So going back to the original theme, this client was getting amazing data from the mouth of people who are happily in a position like this, or even just neutral. You could learn from people who, you could do informational interviews with people who you end up realizing love their job and they are the perfect UX designer and they were just born for it. And then you could do informational interviews with people who you end up feeling like, oh, they're kind of neutral about their job, and you might break down why and analyze why you think they are. And it's like, oh, they kind of had a different personality than the other person. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's actually kind of understandable because their particular company is going through a lot of layoffs. They felt positively about it in the past. Oh, those are feelings that like will probably just come and go, and that's normal. That's okay. I think I could still be confident in this career choice. And then you might have informational interviews with people who hate being a UX designer and they are very ready to leave. And that's not a problem either, because you'll get to objectively learn from them and try to analyze what made you not like it. And then you might ultimately get in informational interviews for the variety of different career paths that you're exploring, where as someone is talking about something that they hate about the job, you'll be thinking, that doesn't sound that bad to me. And that's what this client was expressing that you're talking about, is that for every job, I think that an ideal career choice comes from getting the answer to this question. What do you have to be good at, like doing, and have a tolerance for in order to be a good fit for this profession? And if you ask that of all the different career options that you're considering, the one that makes, like, as someone is answering it, you're like, oh, they're describing me. Like, I like that. I'm good at that naturally, or I have faith that I have so much energy to throw towards that problem, I'll eventually love becoming good at it. And all of the downsides that they talked about in this profession, I have a natural tolerance for it. Like, I've used this example before. A lot of people who came out of being a small business owner or an entrepreneur, they say, I went back to having a regular job because I just really hated the instability of it. And I was like, that's not the worst thing to me. Like, I don't have an extreme amount of discomfort with uncertainty, at least in the business world. And so I was like, oh, that doesn't really freak me out. And so that there's going to be a version of that for each of us as we listen to certain things that are naturally, like, not the cutest part of every profession, but you're going to find one that you have a natural tolerance to handle those things. Mm-hmm. Just don't get bad data. Don't just look at the internet, because the people who are posting on Reddit, perhaps, let's just say as an example, maybe even more fitting, Glassdoor. They're angry. Commonly known maxim that the people who are motivated to leave reviews are doing so because some are extremely happy, but a lot are extremely angry. Mm-hmm. And so that's not, like, the kind of person who takes time leaving a comment is less diverse of the kind of person as you would see if you just reached out to, like, 30 or 50 people on LinkedIn who had a certain job title that you're interested in, and then you could maybe turn those into 5 conversations that give you a very well-rounded, balanced, and realistic view of what it is to be a youth pastor or whatever, or a teacher of theology, or I don't know why I'm just picking Christian professions, or a communication specialist for a nonprofit.
Yeah. Okay. Next concern maybe would be, I don't have experience with specific software. I'm concerned that I can't go into this career profession or this profession because I don't have experience with SAP.
Maybe you don't even have to ask this of someone. You could just ask yourself, what's the first thing I could do to start getting experience with SAP? You might find out with certain softwares that there are no free licenses. They're really built for, like, let's say LinkedIn Recruiter. If you were wanting to get into recruiting, but you're like, I don't have experience with sourcing using LinkedIn Recruiter licenses because those are many thousands of dollars per month, then you'd say, like, oh, Kelsey, I just can't get experience with that tool before getting into it. So it's this catch-22 where I'm always going to be an underdog and I can't get the experience I need to get experience in the role that I want. And I would say, it's okay. There's things we could do about this. Don't worry. There's this thing called YouTube. And I promise you, software companies, software as a service, SaaS, all the websites look the same. Let me tell you, it says homepage title on the left. Then it says, like, services, testimonials, about us, demo. Pricing. Okay? That's what all of them say. Click demo. And there, I guarantee you, is going to be some kind of video that says, here's how we onboard you, or here's how our most successful clients have used the process. Here's an inside tour. And that's one. Okay, demo is going to be like let's call this like floor one. To go up in learning about how a certain software works, I guarantee you there are going to be tutorials on YouTube, and some of them may go over your head, and that's okay. Just keep on Googling and you will not be able to maybe like get that license because it's expensive and it really, you need a real world application in a corporate setting in order to really test it out. That's okay. But you could say, I have already explored all the fundamentals and I feel extremely confident and I've already taken it upon myself to blah, blah, blah. I feel extremely confident to walk in on the first day and hit the ground running. You don't have to worry about me. You could say something confident like that in an interview and that's totally fine. And that shows a lot of initiative. But there are going to be a lot of softwares that you actually can get a license for. And I really encourage you to take on a project for free, helping a friend who has some kind of business, or like make up a fake business that you take on as a quote client project and just click around. Like we had a client who was trying to get into data analytics and you could totally like use Python and have, wait, what was the one? What's the thing that you could have a public profile on?
I don't know.
Well, that sucks. I feel humbled. I'm sorry. I failed this test. Game over.
And if you want to ask somebody about this in an informational interview, just ask, how often do you use this software in your day-to-day experience at this job? And just start actually, you know, like we've been talking about, gathering the evidence for what they use it for, how they use it, if they use it at all. And then you can ask in another way to ease your mind. It's like, oh, did you have a lot of experience coming into this with this software? And they might say yes. I'm hoping that they say no so that you feel better. Well, I'm hoping
that everybody has to start somewhere. Like, how did you start?
How did you start?
Was it really that hard?
Yeah. Do you know anyone who came in with little experience? Odds are it's yes. And okay, tell me more about that person. What did they do to learn?
And it's okay if you run into companies that they really do insist on an intermediate to advanced level of skill, existing experience in a certain software that you don't have experience in. That's okay. But eventually, like, I think that by following all the steps that Audrey and I have just outlined, you're fixing the confidence issue that causes some people to walk into an interview already looking like you have your tail between your legs. And that kind of gives the don't hire me written on your forehead. You could remove that by having an it's really not a big deal, I could handle this attitude. Like, how many people in the history of the world have gotten hired just because they had this it's not a big deal, you should definitely hire me attitude? And I think some people are like naturally put off by that. And they're like, oh, Kelsey, that's like a certain kind of personality that's like really confident like that. But yes, like some people, it's truly just like a personality hire kind of thing. Like they just like exude all this confidence. But some people, they only got there because they just did the work to research and practice and try things enough and ask enough questions to realize, oh, I should definitely not count myself out because I don't have like this certain, I don't have a very niche industry platform or like software experience.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't count myself out.
And the more you talk to people in that career, asking them questions about this topic, the more you're going to realize is they didn't either. And it'll create a little space in your brain to see, oh, it was possible for them, it can be possible for me too, rather than your brain defaulting to, oh, I'm the first person to deal with this. No one has ever gone before me having had little experience in this software or little experience in this, whatever it is, this skill. Again, gathering that evidence rather than letting your brain just come up with the scenarios in it in your head. Because our brains are very good at doing that.
Yes, so well said, Audrey. I'm really grateful that you suggested we talk about this today because it probably before people reach out for services like career coaching, it's they reach out because they realize when they were on their own, they're like really occasionally like swirling in a lot of confusion mm-hmm. and way too many conflicting messages, so many conflicting ideas even that they're generating. And there, I just want to comfort whoever is listening, that's you, whoever you are, that there are ways to move through the fog and make it objective and biblically wise at the same time. Mm-hmm. I really, really think that. And I truly believe that God speaks so beautifully and clearly through people. Because you know, when you're speaking to someone face to face or like over a phone call or over Zoom, you have more interpersonal data on, can I really trust what's coming out of their mouth? Because like, are we even coming from the same place, or can I trust them? You don't know who Joe Blow is posting on Reddit. You have no idea if you should trust them or if this is some bot. Mm-hmm. Like, really, I think dissent from the kingdom of noise, that is the internet in many ways, and get into very decisive, good data conversations with actual people who are in the positions that you're interested in.
Yes, good data. That's what we like to see. Oh, there was something that you said that I wanted to touch on, but it has escaped me, so.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, actually, no, I remember. Hello. Yay. Again.
Hi.
I think it's, I don't know if it's a generational thing, a post-COVID thing, but it is very, very common to isolate to your computer, get in these internet rabbit holes if you're thinking about doing career coaching, doing it all online, pulling together all the resources, getting overwhelmed on trying to find your career, giving up, cycling back the next year, doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's not where, knowing what's normal, just getting discouraged, feeling like you're the exception.
Mm-hmm. And that's where coaching comes in. And then it's also in our coaching process. That's the informational interview step, where it's get out of your head, get off the internet, get into real conversations. So if you find yourself spiraling and circling and being in this consistent cycle of trying, getting stuck, giving up, trying, getting stuck, giving up, get out of your head, get into a conversation. If you want that conversation to be with us, I want to talk.
The lines are open.
Yes, book a call. The information is in the description.
Yeah, and just go to thecalledcareer.com. Yeah, and it's on the upper right corner. It says book a call for free this week.
Just get out of your head. That is the most important thing. And it feels so hard, but it's actually very simple.
Well said. I love this like queenly energy that you have today. I'm like, oh my gosh, say anything you want me to do and I'll do it.
It must be because I'm dressing in my colors, Kelsey.
Oh my gosh, yes. It looks so good. Audrey just got her color consultation done. Yeah. I did mine earlier this year. I'm a warm autumn. And to our shock, we found out that Audrey is a soft autumn. Totally, yes. Thought you were a
light spring.
Yeah. So
dealing with a little bit of an identity crisis from that, but
yeah, we're really okay. Going through it.
We're okay. So everybody, comment on the Instagram, on the reel that we post from this, that I look beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
In my colors.
No, I'm not okay. In my colors, so please don't tell me I'm ugly.
But actually, I'm going to bring this back because I can't let this opportunity go right now. So my experience with my color analysis is actually similar to what we've been talking about on this entire episode of getting stuck in that cycle of trying to figure something out for yourself, getting stuck, giving up, coming back to it later, trying, getting stuck, giving up, because you're just too in your head. And by too in your head, I mean, I was studying color analysis. I'm someone who hyperfixates on things. So when I decide I'm going to do something, I'm spending my weekend on laptop, dark room. Laptop is illuminating my face and hood is on. and I'm researching color analysis. And I kept getting to this point where I would get really stuck between two answers or two seasons, spring and summer. And when I decided to actually get out of my own head, have somebody else do it, have the professional come in and help me, they came back with this soft autumn answer, which was completely flipping everything that I had done on my own, giving me a whole new perspective that I didn't even consider before. And that's exactly what having an outside voice is going to do for you. It's going to clear a lot of the noise, give you new perspectives, and allow you to finally break through that cycle of trying, getting stuck, giving up, where it's like trying and then actually getting a result.
That's right. Oh my gosh, I'm getting flashbacks to this. Is giving that one time I hired a dating coach and my husband came flying into my life after so many years of being like, I'm not an idiot. I could have conversations with people. I've got this. Oh my gosh. And she made me realize so many things that were just like in my blind spot. And I was shook. I was shaken.
Yeah, the blind spots. That's a really good way to put it. So much is in our blind spots. And when you have somebody shine a light from a different perspective, it illuminates the blind spot.
That's right. By the way, I do not conceal my sources. I'll share my dating coach if you share your color consultant.
Oh, amazing. Yes. My gal who I used, I actually told her, I emailed her, like, I also work in small business. So I'm so excited to share your service and provide feedback, because I know that's really important, because she asked for feedback. So that's me saying I'm so excited to share her service. She has YouTube, TikTok. She does it all. She is so good at what she does.
Yeah.
And I love her philosophy too. Her name is Ellie Jean and her company is called Body and Style. And she says, I think her tagline is, I help you find your personal style by first finding yourself.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Go her. I used Created Colorful for my color consultant. Loved them. That was great. And I really like reading her emails too. They're very cute. Yeah. And her shopping guides are like really awesome. I loved it. But my dating coach was Rachel Cheryl of The True Feminine. Shout out to her. I did invite her to my wedding.
Was she there?
No, she couldn't make it.
Oh, but... wait, and I missed her?
She was like, she does attend some alumni's weddings, though, if it works out.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Did she wasn't there? Because I would have found her and then sat her down and made her work.
It's true. Yeah. I think that she would have been busy that night because I don't keep a secret.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So we
there's actually so many girls who did the program with me who are like, one of them this week just said she got engaged, and one of them had a baby announcement because she's already married.
Oh my God.
And I did it in July 22, just for context. It's not like somebody went from like dating to baby all that quickly, but anyway, so I guess, is that the pod?
I think it's time to wrap up. We finally made it. We made it from career coaching to dating, which is a very common path for us to eventually make it to, because it's all in the coaching realm. But I think that's our official sign to sign off.
I think it is. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Visit us at thecalledcareer.com, like we said, and not only get a free call, but also get our free training on our exact 8 steps that we walk clients through in order to discern their calling, find the job title that aligns with it, and actually land that job over all on our website. All right. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. To get an even more meaningful head start into your calling, head to thecalledcareer.com, where my fellow career coach Audrey and I have created a whole suite of free resources and tools to help you get clear and get a job today. For those who are definitely ready to land a job or start a business in the next 6 to 12 months, we're here to help you biblically and practically discern your calling through coaching, reflection, and deep market research, identify the job that's aligned with it, even if you currently have no idea what you want, rebrand your resume and LinkedIn to translate your background to appeal to your future boss, P.S., we take this off your plate and do this for you. Also, we'll teach you how to land referrals and get attention from leadership through networking. Again, if that makes you nervous, we have these emails and LinkedIn messages literally written for you so you don't have to sweat. We're also here to give you unlimited interview practice so you're prepared to address every elephant in the room and knock selling yourself out of the park. Then we'll round out with helping you negotiate your salary so you land thousands more. Just so you know, recent clients have gotten $8,000 to $50,000 salary increases, even though they were totally non-traditional candidates. That's because we specialize in helping non-traditional career pivoters land jobs they're ecstatic to serve in. It takes work, but we're here to see you through until the end, when we're celebrating that day that you send me an email in all caps and you say, "Kelsey, I got the job." Then you could be on the podcast. But I'll be here until then, keeping you accountable and encouraged by meeting with you literally until you land the job you want, even if that's up to 6 months from now within our program. Apply to join at thecalledcareer.com, and I'll see you next week here at Answer the Call. Bye for now.